here in Cartersville. How many here are visiting us from out of town? Would you raise your hand? Great. Nice to see new faces, and we want to thank you for being here with us, and I hope that you're being blessed. We're going to begin with our message today that is found in the Gospel of John. Our key text was read earlier. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, before I begin, I would like to again lift up a prayer as we open up the Word of God. Father, as we open up Scripture, we need of your divine wisdom. Give us of your Holy Spirit. Give me, Father, insight. Help me to understand, Father, that we are all in need of your Spirit. Father, bless us, speak to us, and give me boldness, Father, to be able to speak this message in love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. From an early age, Jesus began to occupy his mind with those who were by his side. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, that his parents took him to a Jewish festival, the Passover, a time that many from afar will partake of this feast and religious observance. Jesus was only 12 years old, but for the Jews, it was an age that a boy will become a man. He will be called the son, or the son of the law is the terminology that the Jewish people used. But he was also going to be a son of God. There was the law aspect and there was the religious aspect. Interesting enough, it was at that age that Jesus marveled as he saw the ritual lamb being sacrificed in the temple. He came to the understanding that the fulfillment of that lamb was a fulfillment of himself. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Bible tells us that his parents lost him during this festival. And among the throngs, they searched for him for a period of 3 days. When later they found him in the temple, baffling the priests with his questions and with his wisdom. The Bible tells us, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Jesus was referring to his heavenly father's business. Jesus began to have a burden for his father's business. And beloved family, beloved guests, friends, his father's business was that they all may come to the knowledge and to the truth, that they may be saved. Amen? Jesus at an early age began to have a burden to do the will of his father. This he would commit himself. He answered his mother, giving her a hint that his mission in life was revealed to him. In Luke chapter 4, we find that Jesus now enters into the synagogue, now ready to embark on his message. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 4? And we're going to find that he begins to embark on his father's business. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Would you say amen when you're there? And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. And when he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened unto him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Wow! Amazing! Here we see Jesus' boldness to stand up and to read a prophecy that was studied by the Jewish people. It was a prophecy from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah. It was a prophecy speaking of the Messiah. And here Jesus uses the same passage to say, it is being fulfilled in your ears. His mission, brothers and sisters, was to bless those that were by his side. He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You may have walked into this sanctuary, perhaps with an acknowledgement that you have done wrong in the eyes of God. You have acknowledged that you have hurt others with your words and with your actions. Or perhaps you feel that you have fallen short from the glory of God. It is for you that Jesus came to save. Amen. He came for you and he came for me to cleanse us from the crimson red sins and make our sins white as snow. When Jesus came to this world, he gave all for the redemption of humanity. We were created in the image of God, but in our fallen state, we have lost that image, that beautiful image of God. And we have become tainted with the blemishes. We've become marred with the stains of sin. In a nutshell, this is the whole story of the Bible. It's about redemption of man, the restoration of man. It is you, dear friends, that Jesus came for, to restore in you the lost image of God, to fix the heart. And glory be to God that there is someone out there, amen, that can fix the human heart. And his name is Jesus. It doesn't matter in what condition we may find ourselves. Jesus has a way of fixing men and women who once cursed the name of God and turned to men and women who sing praises unto his name. I remember entering into a home. This man had a problem with alcohol. His wife had called me and she had asked me to please speak to her husband. Help him to understand that his ways are wrong, that he needs to change his life, because he was began to treat her in an abusive manner as if she was a slave. And I remember, how do I reach this brother? I used to work with him before my conversion. He looked pretty rough. Here I came this evening. His wife was in the kitchen preparing the meal. And one-on-one, I began to talk to him. And I said, Lord, help me. And I began to talk to him about alcohol. And as soon as he realized that I was trying to address his problem, in a rage, he stood up and he began to curse. And he began to tell me, and he began to say loud enough that the whole neighborhood could hear, that no one was going to change him, and that he didn't have a problem, that at a moment he can change, he can decide that I can stop giving up to drink. But you know what? I knew him. I knew that as soon as he stopped drinking, that his hands began to tremble because he had so much alcohol in his system. What can you do? You've lost. You came there for a reason. But I praise God for the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I whispered in a low voice and I said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I said that low enough, not necessarily for him. I just repeated those words. And all of a sudden, he looked at me. He came to my face and he says, "What did you say?" And I'm afraid and I'm saying, if I repeat what I'm going to say, this guy is going to end, I'm going to end up with a black eye. And then he repeats the words. He goes, "What did you say?" And he presents me his arm and he says, "Look." And every hair on his arm was standing up. And when I saw that, I said, "Lord, I'm going to say it now with more boldness." I says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And I tell you the truth, brothers and sisters, the Spirit of the Lord, like a two-edged sword, pierced his heart. He asked me to come into the room, his bedroom, with him. And he closed the door. He didn't want his wife to see that he was about to be broken and to weep. He fell on his knees. And I'm here still standing. I'm looking at him. He grabs me and he yanks me down to fall on my knees. And he embraced me. And he hugged me. And as he was crying, his tears was falling on me. And I says, "Lord, we may not know how to reach people, but I praise God that the Holy Spirit and the power of God can reach any soul as defiant and as hard as they may see. The Holy Spirit is there to help us, brothers and sisters, to help us open our eyes, to help us to understand that truly God is love and He's here to save us." I praise God because God was able to fix not only his heart, God was able to fix that broken family. John chapter 6. I invite you to John chapter 6. Jesus is seeking to give us much more than what we realize. Jesus wants to save us. He wants to bring salvation to us much more than what we realize. To understand this better, I want to go back and read a Bible text that we read at the beginning, John chapter 6, verse 12. Keeping in mind that it was Jesus' burden to save souls, his mind was constantly occupied on our well-being. And in John chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing may be lost." Here, Jesus wanted to teach his disciples something very important. To give you a little bit of context, John chapter 6 is about the multitudes that followed Jesus. 5,000 men, not counting women and children, they followed him because he was able to heal. He healed their diseases. And after a long day, Jesus was moved by compassion and he called his disciples and he asked them, "Where will we buy bread that they may eat?" And his disciples began to calculate that it will take half a year's wages to be able to buy enough bread to feed such a great multitude. And they said, "All there is a young little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 little sardines. What are these among so many?" Jesus, seeing their little faith, he told the disciples to get the crowds to sit down. In verse 11, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would." So all of a sudden, Jesus takes these 5 loaves of bread and these 2 little fishes and he gives them to his 12 disciples. And the 12 disciples now get a new job as waiters and they begin to go to each table to give each hungry guest a most hearty bread, an exquisite mouth-watering fish that delighted all of the guests. He who fed the Israelites that escaped Egypt and went through the Red Sea with manna, the bread of heaven, is now feeding the multitudes with this miraculous bread. The disciples would take a loaf, and when they broke it up and they gave bread to the other person, they kept breaking the bread and kept giving, kept breaking and kept giving, and kept multiplying, brothers and sisters. What an amazing, miraculous act. Somehow, this miraculous bread was kneaded, it was pummeled, it gone through the proofer to raise, and then baked instantly. No need to wait. All the disciples had to do was break it and give it away. Thank God that when God intends to send us a blessing, He can do the impossible when resources and means are short. Amen? When others lack faith, when it seems that it will take too much time, God is able from His divine storehouse to provide from His resources. He is able to take time and freeze it as if it's powerless to His schedule. He is able to provide His children in ways that surpass our understanding. Over 5,000 men, women, and children ate. Not one was left without food. The provision of God was more than enough. There was probably some wondering and thinking, I hope that there's enough for me. I hope that they don't run out. But sooner or later, they all came to see that this was something incredible. You remember before they began to break bread and fish, and they were all commanded to sit. So by sitting, they had a better view of the miracle that was about to happen. John chapter 6, verse 12 tells, when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. How was your Thanksgiving dinner? Wonderful. By the way, I became a vegetarian on Thanksgiving Day many years ago. So we actually made a vegetarian turkey that actually looked like a turkey. It was just pretty interesting. It was delicious. But how many of you had leftovers? You got to have the leftovers, right? What did you do with the leftovers? Maybe some turkey sandwiches afterwards or something? Okay, I'm sure all of you had leftovers. When Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish, there was lots of leftovers. And notice what Jesus says there in John chapter 6, verse 12. Gather up the fragments that remain, that what? Nothing be lost, said Jesus. Can you imagine? The disciples then began to walk through the crowds. Can you picture it? They began to walk through the crowds, and as they went through each area, they looked, and one person had one fish left over. Another person had a loaf of bread left over, and they began to collect, and they began to collect. And the Bible says that as they continued to collect everything that was left over, how much did they collect in total? The Bible tells us that they end up gathering 12 baskets full of bread and fishes. Jesus didn't want nothing to be lost. You know, it's when we are filled that it's mostly likely that some food is lost. Isn't that correct? When you see the plate is filled with food, you eat and you have a little bit left over. When you're so full, it doesn't look so appealing anymore. And oftentimes, what do we do with it? No one's looking. We throw it away. But in this case, we are finding that Jesus gathers up the disciples and they collect 12 baskets full of bread and fish. So yes, there is a lesson here that in the midst of the large crowds, that there was still enough food to feed more people. A careful gathering of the remaining fragments yielded 12 large baskets, plenty more to feed more hungry people. So Jesus wanted to teach them that we must put care in the blessings of God and use the means and the resources that God gives us in a way that it may glorify Him, to use it to reach as many people possible. These 12 baskets would have gone to waste. But carefulness, they yielded plenty more. So it is to be with us. We are not just to think about ourselves, but if we gather for ourselves, we will find that God has given us enough to share with others that may be less fortunate. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 11, we find several good Bible texts. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth with blessings shall reap also with blessings. God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work, as it is written, He that scattereth abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness abideth forever. And he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, ye being enriched in everything unto all liberality. So there's a lesson of frugality and prudent being, as the wise man in the parable who received talents, he invested it and he yielded more. But there is also a spiritual lesson here. You see, God is seeking to fill us spiritually also. Though the crowds were filled physically, they also received a spiritual blessing. They saw this miracle of multiplication of bread and fish, but they also ate of the food that was provided by God. They saw the hand of God in all of this. They were spiritually filled that day because not only did they hear the words of Jesus, but they saw his miraculous acts. Jesus said, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. And with the same carefulness, Jesus wanted them to have with the physical fragments, we are also to put care in the spiritual fragments that God has provided us. You see, Jesus, you remember, what was Jesus burdened with? What was constantly upon the mind of Christ? We mentioned this in the beginning. The what? What was always upon the mind of Christ? Yes. The redemption of man, our salvation. Jesus knew better than anyone the battleground he was upon. He knew that we will all be assailed by the enemy. And he was constantly giving his disciples counsel for their own good. Everything that Jesus spoke had a much deeper meaning than what seemed on the surface. So when Jesus said, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost, Jesus knew that very, very soon they were about to be assailed by the devil, the enemy, Satan. What happened right after this event? You remember the disciples went across the sea where the storm came. You remember that? The storm on the lake? And the boat seemed like they were going to sink. They appeared that they were going to die. And they cried out to Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? And what did Jesus do? He stood up and he rebuked the winds, right? And the storm became peaceful. But as soon as they landed on land, the Bible tells us that they encountered the demoniac of Gadara, who had a legion of demons, much, much scarier than the storm. Jesus said, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. Jesus knew that when it comes to your spiritual life, yes, it's nice to have a blessed day, to gather with the crowds of people, to partake of the bread of heaven. It's beautiful. It's a blessing to come to church, to join others, and to receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit, to hear the word of God. But Jesus wants us to realize that there is something more than just being filled. We all must make sure we are gathering up the fragments. In other words, we must ensure that we have 12 baskets of spiritual strength for whatever emergency may come our way. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins who were waiting for the groom to go to the wedding? 5 of them were what? Foolish, and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones did not bring enough supply of oil. The oil represented the Holy Spirit. Gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. Jesus knew that his disciples needed in their spiritual lives a foundation that was solid to the very core and not something superficial. He didn't want them to be nominal Christians. He wanted them to be real Christians. Jesus doesn't want his words to fall by the wayside. The bread represents the what? What does the bread represent spiritually in the Word of God? The Word of God. And it is meant to be broken up and shared with those that are by our side. But in our effort to spread the word, in our work of sharing the gospel, in our work of breaking of the spiritual bread, we must ensure that we gather up the fragments and value every blessing as small as it may seem. Because these fragments, small little blessings, yield up to 12 full baskets. You see, the disciples shortly after this event came to a horrific event when they came through the storm on the lake. And when they were in that storm, did they have the 12 baskets? Did they cherish the fragments? No, because they lacked faith. They were not able to quote scripture. They were not able to stand on the word of God. They were already giving up. And brothers and sisters, it's not enough to just be filled in church. A storm is coming our way. Amen? That's the truth. That's the reality, brothers and sisters. We need to do more than just be filled in church. We need to begin to gather up the fragments of the Word of God that God gives our way and fill up our baskets because of what's coming. Jesus knew that nothing can be lost when it comes to the bread of heaven. We must have an appreciation for the Word of God. Matthew 4 verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Do we value our eternal salvation? Should we not gather all of the fragments that come our way and deposit it into our spiritual basket? One day, I found a little fragment. When the Lord was able to reach me, when the Lord was able to rescue me from my situation. Growing up in New Orleans and Miami, there's a lot of stress and there's a lot of young people with bad tempers. People that have a short temper in a lot of these environments, and I was one of those kids. And I remember that I would lose my patience. And I had an incident at my home that really spoke to me, because something that I did. And I says, "Lord, some other people could have gotten hurt." And you know where the Lord took me? Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16? Just a little fragment. But this little fragment changed my life. This little fragment changed my attitude and my demeanor, and my patience, where instead of being a violent person, short-tempered, he gave me more of a peaceful spirit. And this little fragment, though it may not seem as much, when the Holy Spirit takes it and brings it into your mind, it's powerful. Amen? "He that is slow to anger is stronger than the mighty, and the spirit that is in him is stronger than he that taketh a city." Wow. Powerful. Lord, and this text came into my mind. And I said, "Praise the Lord," because the Spirit of the Lord was able to use this small fragment to help me spiritually. folks, soon, the Bible tells us, we are going to come to the end of the world. Soon, all of the prophecies of the Bible will all be fulfilled. And I want to share with you a prophecy that will come to pass right before the coming of our Lord Jesus, Amos chapter 8. Would you turn with me to the book of Amos chapter 8 that is found in the Old Testament? We're going to look at verse 11 and verse 12. Fragments. 12 baskets filled with bread and filled with fish. Fragments. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Are you appreciating the fragments that God sends your way? Are you collecting them into your spiritual basket? Amen. Are you there? Amos chapter 8. Notice what it says. Beginning with verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a what? A famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but what? What kind of famine is coming? A famine of hearing the words of the Lord, and they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall what? Incredible. Incredible. They're not going to be able to find the what? The word of the Lord. They're not going to be able to find the bread and the fish, the 12 food baskets to feed the multitudes, because the time is coming when the word of God will no longer be available. Do you remember the story of Elijah? The story of Elijah. Do you remember when he came to Ahab and he came face to face with the king? And what did Ahab do? How did he react? He wanted to persecute and he wanted to kill Ahab, right, with Jezebel. And they sought after the prophets. And what did God tell Elijah? He told Elijah, I want you to what? To hide. To hide. Why did God want Elijah to hide? And he got something, because they don't want to hear your word. Okay, they don't want to hear the word of the prophet Elijah. They don't want to listen. Okay, I'm going to hide you now. Are we not the Elijahs of the last days? Are we not called to preach the last truth of the last days? Amen? But just like Elijah was called to hide, the Elijahs of the last days, after they proclaim the message, a famine is going to come. And God is going to once again hide the word of God. So this is why this is so important. Are you, brothers and sisters, gathering up the fragments? Are you filling up your spiritual basket? Because when the famine comes, you can only rely on the 12 baskets that you have. Soon, it will be in the last days, we know that the doors of grace will shut. Shortly after that, everyone has been given an opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. And once this happens, a famine will come. And once the doors of grace have been shut, and the investigative judgment spoken of by Daniel will be completed, Jesus will come to reward everyone according to their works, whether they have done good or whether they have done evil. Gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. Now is the time, while we have time of peace, now that we have liberty to worship without persecution, now that we have the means and the times, let us study and read the Bible. Let us gather the 12 food baskets, because a famine is coming. There will be people in the last days that are going to go to and fro begging to hear once again the word of God that they neglected and they neglected, and they said no and no and no to the voice of the Holy Spirit. A time will come when they're going to beg to once again to understand and hear the word of God, but it's going to be too late. May God open our eyes that we may see that we have been blessed to receive the truth. But God is also giving us the opportunity to store up the word of God in our minds and our hearts. God is giving us the opportunity to feed our children with the word of God, to fill our homes with the word of God. And whatever fragment of the word of God comes your way, cherish it, appreciate it, because it may be that morsel was especially sent your way to save you. Amen. I pray that each person that is here today may make a tough decision. I've met people so many times that they love to read books. And that's not wrong. That's not bad. But make the Bible your priority. Amen? Make the Bible your priority. Develop a reading plan. We're coming to the end of the year. And if you have a tablet, if you have a smartphone, there's many programs out there that provide you with a reading plan. And I recommend that you choose one of these reading plans. It's going to be a blessing for your life. Because think about it. How much time do we really have to read the Bible through? Now that we have times of peace. We know that things are developing. We saw what happened in 2015. Who knows what 2016 is bringing. But develop a study habit, amen, to study the Word of God now that we have the opportunity. May God bless you. At this moment, we're going to sing our last song that is found in our hymnals. We'll ask Bonnie to come forward and she's going to help direct us.